We'll call the Eastern Municipal Water District Board of Directors to order for its regular meeting on October the 2nd, 2019, time being 9 a.m. Director Record, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Please join me in salute to our flag. Our flag
is allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Do we have any guests this morning?
Yes, we have a guest from Kaufman Associates, as well as Hazen and Sawyer, and a number of EMWD employees.
Super. Thank you. Welcome. All right, this agenda item one is for public comments, and this is the time and place for anyone wishing to speak to the board on anything that is not on the agenda today. And do we have any? I don't think so. Okay. With that, we'll go to the executive report.
Thank you, President Sullivan, members of the board. Good morning. Today, my written report's included in your package. Just want to go over a few things real quickly. One, I'm happy to report that Governor Newsom on the 27th of September vetoed SB1. This was the bill that was authored by Senator Atkins regarding basically freezing the environmental regulations in the state of California back at the January 1st, 2017, and to have those requirements stay in place until 2025, basically in an effort to circumvent the environmental regulation changes in the Trump administration. As we discussed with this board previously, this was very broadly opposed by agricultural interests, public water agencies, private water agencies, businesses, and really would have had some very significant impacts on very, frankly, positive things that are going on for the environment right now. One being the so-called voluntary agreement negotiations. It's really been a very collaborative process among water users, environmental stakeholders, and the State Water Board to improve habitat flows in the Delta. Also in the environmental process for potential conveyance improvements in the Delta. This in legislation would have had very substantial impact on that. We're happy that Governor Newsom saw it the right way. In his veto message, he stated that he disagreed about the efficacy and the necessity of SB1. He has defended his record on environmental support and that he has opposed the Trump administration, but I think, again, he was very much aware of the impacts and the unintended consequences of this on some very positive things for water resources and for the environment, so we're very pleased to see that he vetoed this bill. Under past and ongoing activities, you had some really great results this year on recharging groundwater, both on the Saboba settlement side, but also with this new cyclic storage credit program that we've entered into with MET. On the Saboba settlement side, we've recharged year-to-date this year over 13,000 acre-feet of water. If you think our average Saboba settlement deliveries are supposed to be 7,500 acre-feet, so we're well through that. And, in fact, we're 1,800 feet into the year 2021 delivery. So we're really getting some water banked in the ground. I think MET's been very cooperative with that. And so what we're hearing is they're going to continue with those deliveries through the fall. Additionally, we brought to this board previously the cyclic storage credit program. If you'll recall, this is a program that MET has put into place to encourage additional water storage via in-lieu means. And so that was initiated in August. We are paid or compensated up to $225 per acre foot for any additional cost that we have to take MET treated water versus pumping groundwater. We've done very well on the program so far. We've stored 2,300 acre feet of water in the basin under that program through in-lieu means by shutting off our wells and taking service deliveries. So for us, I think it's been a fantastic year in groundwater. And again, this is what we why we manage the groundwater basins the way we do, is to accumulate that water in the ground and get that water in the ground in wet years. I do want to give the board a quick update on the activities and the state's activities relative to the per- and polychloroalkyl substances, or PFAS. As previously reported, the board, commissioned a study with the four other SAPA regional member agencies in the Santa Ana River watershed with an expert consultant, Intertox, basically to review the scientific basis and the support that the state was using for their proposal to lower the response level for PFAS and also the notification level. The study also was designed to really look at the basis for regulations and regulatory actions nationwide that have been used to set both MCLs in a couple of states and also similar regulatory actions in response and notification level in other states. Last week, this study was completed. A couple weeks ago, we got a draft that was very comprehensive. And last week, we have representatives from Orange County Water District, including Jason Dadakis, who many of us know has presented to SAPA several times on the matter. They met with the chair of the State Water Resources Control Board and also the Department of Drinking Water, presented the results of the study. They indicated the state was very appreciative, particularly the state board chair, on the work that was done and committed to have an open-minded review of the information provided. So I think that's probably the best we can expect. In addition, a couple days later, the state has now noticed a two-day all-day seminar on December 4th and 5th, and it's all on PFAS, and it's going to help them frame the regulatory actions. So we're very, very pleased to see that. The final thing I have to update the board on is staff last week had a meeting with representatives of the Inland Empire Energy Center regarding the future disposition of that site, the facility, the property, what they're going to do. The IEDC staff confirmed that the California Energy Commission approval is going to be given for what they call a decommissioning and demolition plan to close the facility by the end of the calendar year and then demolish the facility thereafter. They're looking at clearing the site and having the facility demolished by 2021. GE has sold the facility to a company called Nova Power. They are a division of Calpine, which is a fairly large company, and they do battery storage. That's what their exclusive scope is. So basically what they indicated is for that battery storage facility, they're going to need basic potable water and sewer service, not going to be needed recycled water or the brine line. However, they did indicate that as they transition out the site, they will have some brine discharges through the end of February. So those agreements are going to be terminated, likely that we have. That brine capacity will come back to Eastern brine line capacity. And we're going to continue to work with the new owners when they're put in place to see what their needs are more definitively. But there are going to be some big changes going on in that energy facility. You can imagine it's going to be entirely dismantled. So with that, are there any questions I can answer?
Have any questions?
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Laura?
Nothing today.
Nick?
Nothing initially reported today.
Joe?
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. Just one item. As you're aware, last February, the Temecula Reclamation Plant experienced localized flooding. And as a result, our electrical equipment that provides power to the tertiary effluent pump station was damaged. We work with our insurance carrier, and they agreed to reimburse us for the cost to replace the damaged equipment. I'm pleased to report that we have received delivery and have installed the electrical equipment at the facility. In fact, we'll be starting testing and startup activities later this month, and hopefully we'll complete that. So things are moving ahead of schedule. That's
it. Okay. Jeff. All right. With that, we'll accept a motion and a second for approval for the consent calendar for items 3A through 3B.
Move. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right.
go to agenda item 4, which is the action calendar. We'll approve and authorize implementation of the classification and compensation study results for supervisory and confidential classification employees. And before we get into this one, Laura, just hang on with for a second. If you plan on, for today's hearing on this item, if you plan on providing comments on this item, please fill out the blue speaker's card, and we'll give you time to do that and turn it into April. All guest speakers will have 3 minutes to provide their comments. Minutes cannot be transferred from one person to give another person their 3 minutes. Minutes cannot be transferred. In the interest of time and efficiency, if your comment is similar to a previous speaker's comment, please refrain from repeating it. Instead, we encourage you to let the board know all the diverse comments on this particular item. We ask that each guest be mindful of the allotted time and respectful of everyone else's time. And I do want to thank everyone for joining us today. I know it this particular one is near and dear to each individual's heart. So with that, Laura.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. I'm here this morning to give you an overview of the classroom process that you guys completed, as well as an implementation plan. Just to give you a little bit of background, board authorized execution of an MOU in 2016. In that MOU included an agreement between the district and the union to perform a classification and compensation study. That was to be a total compensation study based on base wages and benefits. We went through a competitive RFP process, and through that process there were two consultants that were considered. Working jointly with the union, we selected Coffin Associates, and then in April of 2017, the board approved execution of that contract. So just a little bit of background about COF, which we selected jointly with the union, as found to be the consultant with the experience and the criteria that we were looking for. They've been in business for over 30 years and specialize in public sector human resources and doing class and comp studies, recruitments, and other items. We are fortunate to have Debbie Owen as our senior project manager, who has over 20 years' experience doing this type of work, and then Gareth Kramer, the chief executive officer, and he's here today as well. Thank you for joining us. He was able to change his schedule, so we're thankful for that. Just a little bit as to the purpose of the study, and that's one of our strategic goals is to recruit and retain highly qualified, diverse, productive employees by providing competitive compensation opportunities for career development and advancement. Now, the study consisted of two phases, the phase one being the classification study that was to review our existing classifications and update all the job descriptions to ensure that they were relevant and accuracy. The last time we conducted the study was 15 years ago, and it was implemented 12 years ago, so it was a time to go through those and update those. Once that phase was completed, the second phase was the compensation study, and that was to benchmark the classifications based on total salary, which is salaries and benefits. And then to adjust the salary ranges to make sure we were competitive within the comparable agencies that were selected. So just, I'll go into detail as phase one. This might have a little more detail than we need to go through, but I think it's worth it to go through the process that we actually went through. The study took over 18 months, and so phase one was the initial meeting with the project team, which is the EMWD executive team, as well as a group of union members that were part of this effort. We had orientation meetings with employees, so we went over the process, what was expected of them, their input, and how that was going to be used and incorporated. Then we did PDQs, so each employee was given the opportunity to provide information related to their position. And then we had interviews that COF came in and did not go over in detail as to how many of those we did. Then they developed revised job descriptions that came back, and then we gave the opportunity for the management and employees to review and provide input. So the PDQs, these are position description questionnaires. Those were given to employees. We received about 320 plus PDQs. Some of those were groups, so one individual was selected from the classification and asked to receive input from their peers in that classification. And then they were given 5 weeks to review, to complete those and submit them. Following that, we had COF come in and do interviews with individuals and groups, and we had 122 meetings that occurred, 84 that were groups. And then we had some additional meetings that followed up after that.
So from that, new classifications or job descriptions were developed. In some cases, the recommendation was to collapse them. So for instance, we had a customer service rep that had three levels, 1, 2, and 3. Well, in the past, the job duties did require those three levels based on what they had to be competent in. Well, things have changed, and after the review of the duties of these jobs, it was recommended that we have two levels, so an entry level and a junior level. And so in some cases, that's what occurred. They were collapsed. In other cases where the work being performed was very similar, so for instance, an air quality compliance analyst or an environmental compliance analyst and a CEQA NEPA analyst, then the recommendation was to make that what the industry standard is, and that's an environmental compliance analyst. So those were combined into a job classification. Then those job descriptions came back, and each employee was given the opportunity to review it and also an appeal process. So if they felt there was something that was missed or they didn't agree with them, they were given 8 weeks to review those and submit an appeal. So this phase was finalized in December 2018. The job descriptions came back. The input was developed. We received some information from employees, and even after the fact, the union brought additional information that they wanted us to consider. We gave that to COP. They reviewed it to see if it wasn't incorporated in the job description, and we took the opportunity to add anything that may have been missed. So 227 new revised job descriptions were provided. Those were all posted on our intranet, the pipeline, for everybody to see and review. And there were 415 employees that would see no change other than just updates to their job descriptions. 145 where title changes occurred or recommended. So for instance, the customer service rep would now be a customer service advisor. So this is a title change in those situations. We had 14 employees that the recommendation was to reclassify. So in phase two, the compensation portion, this started in July 2018. This is where COP started gathering information for the comparator agencies and the classifications that were going to be benchmarked. Then they started comparing the, or actually gathering the benefit data, so what other organizations provide for their employees. So I get the question, well, how did you select the agencies? So a list was provided from COP, which took into consideration the organizational type and structure, whether similar to what the district does, the population, number of employees they serve, the services they provide, the labor market, cost of living, and then ratio of the number of employees. So that was taken into consideration. Those were all ranked, and then that list was provided back. And jointly working with the union, we selected 10 agencies to be compared. That was Alameda, City of Riverside, Coachella, Elsinore, Inland Empire, Irvine, Orange County, Sanitation, Orange County Water District, Rancho, and Western. And as you see, there are three agencies in here that are located in Orange County, which typically have a higher living cost or expenses. In the comparable agencies, COF took the revised job descriptions, so the ones that were revised through phase one, and then did a comparison to start looking at other agencies. It looked at their MOUs, the organizational chart, salary information, and then they not just looked at titles, but also the description of the job to make sure that they were compared. And then a 70% match was the consideration for saying, yeah, this is a match. And we had to follow up on that. So the review of these job descriptions to be able to benchmark was very thorough. They looked at the job descriptions to make sure that they matched in duties, responsibilities, if they supervised or the experience that's required for that classification, any certifications or any educational background or degrees that were required. After that came back, the matches required at least four matches to be benchmarked. If there were no four matches, it wasn't considered a benchmarked classification. That came back, and then we actually took the time to go through a QC process and work with the union on that. Initially, there were 93 that were submitted to compare, so 14 of those had 93 comparisons. So one classification may have had four matches that maybe was being asked to do a QC on. Out of those, we were reviewed by COP, and we found no substantive changes that were required. So we felt pretty confident with the data. So market findings, out of 64 classifications that were able to be benchmarked, over half of those were found to be above market, and 31 of those below the market. So 33 above market, 31 below. And on an average, the district was about 9.9% below in wage and base salaries only. Now, keep in mind, we agree this is a total compensation study, which is wages and benefits. There's a cost to the benefits the district provides. And therefore, on an average, when putting in the benefits, it was 1.1% above the market. So, in placement, in the beginning, before we went into this phase, we had some guiding principles that we agreed with the union, that we would be placing individuals at the 50th percentile in the median of the market, that we would make adjustments for any employee that was, or the classification that was 5%, more than 5% below, or more than 5% above. After we went through it, and just to be fair and equitable, and understanding the value of our employees and recognizing that, we made an agreement with the union to move that percentile to the 50th to the 60th percentile. So we agreed that every classification would fall within that. We would bring everybody up to at least 50 and not to exceed 60. We also agreed that no employee would receive a reduction in pay. And then initially, if a performance incident is a benefit that the district provides, that would be part of the study and part of the compensation piece. After we reviewed this, we agreed with the union that the pay for performance would not be included in the total compensation, so it is not reflected on there. So this is an illustration of kind of what it shows, where we placed all the classifications. So you'll see the green arrows. Everybody who, all the classifications that we're under are being moved to at least the median or the 50th percentile. And any of the classifications without exceeding 60th percentile would be placed. If they fell at the 60th percentile or above, or say at the 50th percentile, they would be, the maximum would be adjusted to fit within that criteria. So some of those ended up being Y-rated. I'll go over what that is for sure. So placing those classifications between that 50th and 60th percentile, we agreed that any employee, we would adjust the classifications, the maximum of the classification, and in placing the employee, we would place them in that new range of pay, but we would place them in a step. If they fell between a step within that range, we would give the employee the benefit. So nobody would take a reduction in pay, so if they fell in between, we would bump them up to the next, providing an increase to that employee. For those classifications that were under market, we agreed that we would take the same approach, because we had committed that no employee would take a reduction in pay. So if they fell between two steps, even though the classification was found to be over market, we gave the employee the benefit and placed them on a higher step. If the employee is in a classification where it was placed where they're making, say they're at the control point now or the maximum of that classification now, and the maximum was now reduced, they would be Y-rated, and I'll go over here shortly as to what Y-rating is, because we had a lot of questions. What exactly is that? So that's when an employee's maximum or their current pay is over what the maximum of that classification is not being placed at. Now, we committed to employees no reduction in pay, so even though these employees are paid over market in that classification, we agreed that they would be given a COLA. So even when we have a COLA, they'd be paid in a lump sum payment. We would increase their base wages, because they're still over market. The way they come out of Y rating is when the maximum of that classification increases, say through a COLA or an adjustment, then the employee eventually falls into the range of that classification back in the longer Y rating. So, in total, we had 139 classifications that were represented that had an increase to the maximum of the classifications, the maximum of the pay of the classification. So approximately 68%. We had 48 in the supervisor and confidential, so approximately 63%. And then 65 of those classifications is where the maximum of the classification was decreased. So about 32% of the represented. And then one classification no change. And then the supervisory, 26 were the maximum was decreased. So this is the group that is part of the recommendation today. 48 of those are classifications where the top of the range increased, and then 26 of those were the top of the range decreased. So remember I spoke a little about Y rating, what that means. So these are the numbers. So we've got a total of 47 employees that would have been Y rated based on the changes, on the recommended changes. 14 that were Y rated less than 1%. So the maximum, they were over the maximum, the new maximum of the classification by less than 1%. 14 of those were between 1% and less than 3%. And then 41 between 3 and 5%. And 16 that were above 5%. Now, for this group that's in the part of the recommendation, it's a supervisor and confidential group. So we have 6 employees that would fall into being violated by less than 1%. 1 between the 1% and less than 3. And then 11 in the 3 to 5. And then 6 that were over 5. So, based on COLA adjustments, and the COLA trend right now is about 2.8%, and I know it's based on board approval, so say the trending CPI or the COLA was 2.8, this is where we project the change in why rated employees would occur. So currently, we would have had 94, this is really sensitive, 94 that our IBEW represented, and 24 the confidential and supervisor employees. We anticipate that with the trending COLA come January 2020, there would only be 40 left in the represented and 17 in the non-represented. And then by 2022, as you can see there in the graph, eventually they fall back into their classification and no longer Y-rated. So it would be by January 2022, based on the trending CPI. So, we had a tentative agreement with the union. We had 4 side letters that were signed, so we had a signed agreement. Union sought a vote from their membership. That vote resulted in 40% voted in favor and 60% in opposition, so 129 to 197, and 115 employees under the 441 employees in represented classifications did not vote. So, should the union seek to ask for a vote for membership again, we would bring this back to the board for consideration, but at this time, they're not part of the recommendation. Financial impact based on these salary adjustments, we project $588,800 for the supervisory and confidential employees, which is about 0.3% of total wages and benefits budget for the first year, fiscal year 1920, and again 0.3% for the fiscal year 2021. Funding for these were incorporated in the biannual budget that was approved by the board, and if approved, these adjustments would be 439 employees, and effective October 2019, we've begun testing in our HR payroll system to ensure that we can get this done. So the goal is to get it implemented in October. So a recommendation today for the board is to authorize the implementation of the results of the classic comp study for supervisory and confidential classifications, including the revised job descriptions, the classification salary schedule, and the salary schedule of ranges, along with appropriation of the 588.8 to be appropriated for associated with salary and benefits. I'm going to have Laura come up and just say a couple words, and then I can answer any questions you may have.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. Again, my name is Gaylord Kramer. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Coffin Associates, and my main purpose for being here today is really to express my appreciation for engaging, for the district to engage with Coffin Associates on this fairly large study. To support Laura in answering any questions that you may have about the process. Overall, I would say that the process was very thorough. The methodology that we've developed over the 30-plus years that we've been in business is meant to be, is designed to be very collaborative and transparent. There are several industry standards that we look at when we do classification compensation work. We feel, of course, that we've met the highest standards that the industry has for this type of work. the work and the process were very thorough in terms of including the stakeholders, working with human resources, with management, as well as the union, providing ample opportunity to share information, ask for feedback, provide this, we call it sort of an informal appeals process by providing information to the union, receiving their input, answering questions and concerns, doing a fair amount of reanalysis as part of the QC or quality control process that Laura described, providing all of the supporting backup documentation for both the classification and the compensation process, things such as documentation we obtained from each of the comparator agencies that we used to do our analysis and do the job matching. I certainly want to thank both human resources as well as management and union representation for their input and their collaboration. And with that, I'll be available for any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Do you have any questions of Laura or Mr. Kramer?
I can't clarify just a Y-rated employee, just to be clear, they would still receive a COLA, but it would be in the form of a lump sum payment, correct? We're not taking away COLAs from anybody. Is that my understanding?
That's correct, Dr. Pauline. So the intent of that is to provide that COLA, but to also keep the wages to the point where they would no longer be Y-rated and actually fall within the range of that classification.
Okay. Thank you.
In addition, I think it's important to point out is those employees would also be eligible for our pay-for-performance program.
That's exactly right.
So they would continue to have eligibility for the COLA, should the board approve those, and the pay-for-performance program that we have for employees.
Well, I could ask, speaking of pay-for-performance, I think I understand the rationale, but can you explain the rationale why that's not included?
So, pay for performance, we agreed with the union was going to be part of the package. It was approximately 2.3, somewhere around there, that we were going to add.
2.3%.
So the compensation actually would have included another 2.3% on there. Once we started looking at other similar programs in other organizations, they're administered differently, so we felt it wasn't apples to apples, and that was the reason it wasn't included. We agreed with the union, maybe it's not the right thing to include.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Okay, so in by looking at the graph, everybody that is Y-rated catches up by 2022.
And that's correct. It could happen sooner based on the change in the CPI.
Depending on whatever classification that you're talking
about. As well as, you know, district provides for advancement opportunities here, so people may change classifications along the way and actually not. It'll happen before then.
Yeah, the current CPI is 2.8%. So we applied that forward for the 2 years in a projection. That CPI could change. For example, last year the CPI was 3.6%. So it does vary. It's been lower and higher. But we thought that was a good surrogate to make that projection.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we have a number of speakers. Anyone that came in late that would like to address the board on this particular item, you can either fill out a card or at the end of the ones that have cards, we'll ask you to raise your hands and then you can come up and speak. And so with that, Robin Clayton.
I'm going to defer to Brian Rains first, please.
Okay, Brian.
I have a couple documents I wanted to provide to the board, if that's okay. Good morning, Mr. President and directors of the board. My name is Brian Rains. I have been a hardworking, well-respected and high-performing district employee in civil engineering and development services and engineering department for 16 years. I have been through three classification and compensation studies. I have been on the contract negotiations team for 12 years. I will be completing my master's in public administration and with a leadership concentration in Congress this December. Here is some perspective of the district's classification and compensation study, which we have worked 3 long years to complete. The voting results by represented union membership was 197 no votes, which was 60.4%, and 129 yes votes, 39.6%. Total votes counted were 326 out of 377 members. Only 51 employees that were eligible to vote did not vote. EMWD salaries are 9.9% under the median salary of our 10 comparable agencies. Every aspect about this study and the implementation of the study was to diminish the fact that the district falls well short of the very pedestrian threshold of 50th percentile versus comparable agencies with regards to salary. Newark Pepper employees hired since March 26, 2014 were compared to the classic employee benefits and will never make the median 50th percentile salary because their total compensation used is unattainable. Workforce excellence. Per the district's current strategic plan, recruit and retain highly qualified, diverse, and productive employees by providing competitive compensation and opportunities for career development and advancement. Currently, over 200 employees are eligible to retire as of today. Within 5 years, over 300 employees are eligible to retire. Benefits and salary must be evaluated separately in any fair and equitable evaluation. Salary is the only consistent measure across all comparable agencies. Employees have only recently had the opportunity to review their comparable job classifications and at least 7 benchmark job classifications, but have not been provided a fair process to appeal errors in their comparable job classifications. The union asked that the board direct executive management and the director of human resources to allow employee work groups to appeal and provide evidence of appropriate comparables based on research and to be given a fair and equitable chance at justifying appropriate comparable job classifications and or eliminating comparable job classifications that are not equivalent to their classification of work for the district. Allow mid-level managers to provide input into the comparables identified for their work groups through an appeal process for employees. Negotiate the classification and compensation study for all employees to be implemented together through a joint effort of agreement after all concerns have been addressed through the appeal process. Implement a fair and equitable classification and compensation study for all employees of the district by separating total salary from total benefits and addressing benefits through the contract negotiations process as we have done for all contracts. That the district come back to meet and confer on this study, which is part of the 2016 contract negotiations. Thank you for your time and attention to our concerns expressed today.
Brian, thank you for watching the clock. Appreciate it. Robin.
Good morning, President and board members. My name is Robin Clayton. I'm the IBE Building 1436 Business Manager President, as well as a 24-year employee. I am also a ratepayer. The report prepared by Coffin Associates is flawed in that it has been impossible to come up with a fair and equitable total compensation comparison due to the errors and missing data. We recommend that the district focus solely on the salary comparison data to bring our market salaries competitive with our comparable agencies. This will improve the recruitment retention, greatly enhance the employee morale, and reduce overall training costs and loss of experience due to continuous short staff. Implementation of non-representative jobs is not moving forward, and unity and sends a message of division, resentment, and it reduces the morale of the district employees. The class and cost study preparation has left many employees feeling unappreciated by the district. There are many hardworking employees that are here. They work more here with the employees as they are with their families. They take great pride in their jobs, and they do this only to be rewarded with less than fair wages. Furthermore, managers are recently being directed by upper management to the pay for performance to be reduced, and this will reduce the cost of the wages. Many employees would rather be compensated through wages than they would to take home to their families rather than going to a district lunch or breakfast. that this is planned every year, and they are told that they are wonderful employees and how the district is number one in their industry. The blue-collar employees want to be appreciated through their wages and performance evaluations. When they see that the top management is getting enormous raises and is sending a message that the blue-collar employees really don't matter. The blue-collar workers makes the management team and this district look good. We are hardworking employees, and we take pride in our jobs. We are asking for permission to speak when the presentation, which was already given, that we would be able to speak openly as well. The 3 minutes does not give us justice of what we need to explain. So in closing, the union is asking for the consideration that we are asking the unrepresented jobs to be merely and to please continue to resolve the issues with the class and comp so we can move forward as a unity and not segregated. We would be happy to expand on any of the concerns that you might have with us following the 3 minutes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Robin. Dusty Palomar.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board.
Morning.
I've been at the district since 2006. I'm the supervisor for the inspection department. There's actually two of us that are in that department. I worked with the other supervisor and doing the PDQ, and I thought it was very interesting that we got to actually compile all the codes and different things that we have to interpret. We wear a lot of different hats in our group, and being able to look at that, present our side of the story, I thought was unique. I was here in 2006, and I'm not sure how that one went down because I was a new hire, and we just kind of had this survey come in, and we got a little bit of an adjustment from it. So the fact that we're able to have input and then individually meet with Coffin Associates, I appreciated that. In our group, we have our top four tiers, meaning manager, supervisor, senior inspector, and a level three. That whole group was really compressed. Their wages were, there was no spaces between, no ranges in between. So I kind of had a feeling that something was going to happen, whether it was Y rating or pluses or minuses. For my group, it ended up working out really well. Everybody was getting a positive. So from my point of view, this was a positive for our group. I can't speak for the entire district. But I just wanted to say that I appreciate the fact that we were given an opportunity to have input on this, and that we, you know, our voices were heard. And thank you for the letting me speak today. And that's really all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, John DeReich.
Morning, Mr. President, members of the board. I am the construction and safety manager for the district. I just want to show my appreciation for this study. Going into it, I really didn't expect a whole lot of the wage and compensation study. To be honest with you, I thought my salary was excellent before. I wasn't looking at it for a point to, you know, get a big raise out of this. As Dusty said, I thought it was great to be able to put our input into the PDQ and go through that. I was a member of one of the individual interviews, and thought that it was very thorough. After everything came out and we were allowed to come to all the meetings and everything, I thought that the information was expressed very clearly, and I really thought that the district made a lot of concessions for the employees, judging from, you know, nobody was going to get a reduction if they were, you know, below a market scale. And the fact that they didn't include a lot of things, where they rated the benefits was was significant to me. And then also where they looked at the wages, the individual wages through the different organizations. Some of the members of my staff have gone through and looked at these, and they've reported to me that they came up, we were right in the 50 percentile, we were right there. Benefits were a big difference between the different organizations, and like I said, going into this, I've talked to my staff when I first started as a manager in this department, and I came up through the department from a level 2 inspector all the way up to manager. The district has always been very fair, I was part of the last wage and compensation study, and I took a large pay cut to come to work at this district. I came here because I've worked outside as an outside consultant for the district also, and I really enjoyed the principals and everything else of this district, and that's one of the main reasons I came here. I think we've always been well compensated, and I will benefit from this, I'm happy to say, but I would like to really say again that I appreciated the way it was handled through management. I appreciate the communication that was put out through the town hall meetings and everything else, and appreciate the opportunity to speak this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Carney.
Good morning, President Sullivan, members of the board. My name is Dan Carney. I'm a principal water resources specialist here in the water planning and conservation section of the district. I'm relatively new here at the district, just barely 3 years, but in my 20-plus career in the water industry, this is my third class and comp study I've been through, the city of San Diego and Marin Municipal Water District. And I have to say that this has been a very transparent, very collaborative process. Echo the recent comments, and I appreciate it very much. And I just wanted to extend my congratulations to everybody that worked on it for a job well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Sam Robinson.
Good morning, Mr. President and members of the board. My name is Samuel Robinson. I'm the Energy Program Manager here at the district. I've been with the district for 7 years, starting in the electrical department, moving into safety and risk, and now finally as the energy manager. Having come from the private sector and self-employment, I can't express how wonderful employment has been here. The benefits package is unrivaled. The current salary I earn is very generous. Retirement, job security, with the potential recession that's coming, looming recession becoming, housing slowdown, being employed here has just really made me feel secure. I've been able to build a home for my family and get back to the community. In considering this compensation study, the fairness and delivery of it has been exceptional. In the private sector, we were told what we were paid, and that was it. There was no discussion, no revisiting the topic. To even consider a compensation study to make sure that we were being paid fairly and equitably is unheard of in the private sector, and certainly with self-employment. The fact that our pay-for-performance wasn't included in that is great. The fact that we would still receive a COLA, even if we were wide-rated, is unheard of. And that the COLA would still raise our potentially wide-rated salary to eventually, within 2 years, we would be taken out of that wide-rating classification, I think is exceptional. Ultimately, with the unlimited potential for advancement within the district, anybody who may have been wide-rated or wishes to strive for more certainly has the opportunity, like I did, coming from sweeping the floors in the electric shop, to advance within the district to positions of higher pay or higher authority or whatever they may choose. But all in all, very satisfied with the presentation, the delivery, the transparency of the comp and class study. Y-rated, I remain fairly unfazed. My salary didn't change. I'm very happy with the outcome and look forward to many more years working in the district. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. That was the end of anyone that had filled out a card. I will just simply ask if there's anyone else that hasn't spoken that would like to speak, you're welcome to come to the podium and address the board on this particular item. If not, do we have any questions on the board? Any comments?
Another one based on the public comment floor. I don't know if you know this or not. During the last recession, the 2008-2000 to 2010 recession, how many employees did we lay off here at Eastern?
That would be zero.
Okay, thank you.
I'll just make one comment that in my life prior to EMWD, I had human resources as one of my departments in a 1,600 employee-based electronics firm, and we did this every 2 years, and every year people that went through and had their evaluation, you looked at their classification and you drew a line from the top of the classification to the bottom of the classification, and typically you had 15 to 20 people that was operating within that classification, and you had them ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it may be. And we always found that generally there were people at the bottom sometimes that made more money and were well beyond that line. And at that point, they never got another raise either. And generally, they were at the bottom, so they didn't get a merit increase. And so, for me, I think this has been a very fair process as to what we see. At least these folks get a cost of living increase. There isn't a study in this world that is always perfect, and it doesn't mean that at some point in time, if there are some classifications that still need to be exercised, I think that they probably still have that opportunity after this vote today. So, with that, we'll. Any other questions?
I just had one point of clarification. Approving this action today does not affect the meet and confer that we're still obligated to do in good faith.
That's correct. We're for the represented employees.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Anyone care to make a motion?
I'd make a motion to approve.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I want to thank everybody for the time that you spent today and for speaking before the board. I think it's always very informative. I thank you very much. With that, we'll take a 10-minute break.